But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The Lord looks on the heart. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our minds and hearts, be acceptable in your sight. Our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This reading comes after chapter 15, which it talks about Saul rejected as a king. And as you read it, if you have read it, and we know the story, it's really, really sad in my thinking that somehow somebody that has been anointed, called, chosen by God, all of a sudden rejected. And the verse 7, which I choose for today is to focus on, comes after rejecting of the king Saul, and God calls Samuel to go to anoint another king. First impression can be deceiving, especially when the image created by a person's appearance is contradicted by his or her qualities. Saul presented the ideal visual image of a king, but the tendency or the movements he leaned on to his character often went contrary to what God's commands to be a king. Saul was the chosen one to be the leader, to be the king for the people. When they asked Samuel, they want a king instead of his two sons. But this did not mean that he was capable of being a king on his own. The individual is free for his choice. Unfortunately, some choices tend to be in conflict with God's plan, undermine everything that God's called the person for, and that's what we've seen on Saul. During his reign, Saul had his greatest success when he obeyed God. His greatest failures resulted from acting on his own. He's got the raw materials to be a good leader, appearance, courage, and his actions. But even his weaknesses could have been used by God if Saul had recognized them and left them on the hands of God. Unfortunately, his own choices cut him off from God and eventually alienated him from his own people. From Saul, we learn that while our strengths and abilities make us useful, it is our weaknesses that makes us unuseful. Our skills and talents make us a tools, but our failures and shortcomings remind us that we need a craftsman, someone to help us on the way and our lives. Whatever we accomplish on our own is only can be useful if God could touch and use us. The question for me now is, God controlling us? Is God's ability to lead and guide us and we don't have any choices? God's love allow us to have free will and free choice. And here we read about what God has called Samuel to do. A young, courageous, and talented young man, the keeper of his father's sheep. He was out in the desert, minding his business, but God's eyes were on him. God said to Samuel, "Fill your horns with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." We hear the reading today. When Samuel looked at the eldest son, he said, "Oh, his appearance, the heights and his stature." And the verse today, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see a mortal as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." 7 of the sons, where not one of them were fit for the Lord's plan and purpose. If that's so, that God can look in the hearts of a person, what's this in the heart? I believe heart is the center of one's life. Your hearts and minds, if it's in the right place, we find joy and peace. Means we are open in yearning to be God's people and to fulfill God's plan and purpose. But we, you know and I know, hearts is a fragile thing. Heart can persuade one person and go different direction from God, as we know from the story of Saul. He was anointed, and the Spirit of God were with him, but he chose in his free will as a king to do the contrary, to walk away from what God has called him to do. Today we hear God is looking for the person, but first to look in the hearts. Later on in David's life, when he take on Bathsheba, when the soldiers were in war and he was at home, we know the story. And Nathan confronted him with his sin. This is what David talked to God about. His prayer in Psalm 86, he said, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name It's not about fear, but reverence about you, O God. And focus on you, O God, and walk with you every step of the way. Is that the criteria for one to be anointed? Again, David said, I have hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. It seems that David, later in his life, he was trying very, very hard to keep his ways according to God's ways. We know him. We know the story about David falling down, getting up, and falling down again, and getting up, and falling down again. It seems that he doesn't really learn from all the mistakes. And is that the reality of humanity? We know the reality of humanity, but we also know the reality of God, who is continued to forgive and forgive and forgive. Only if we know our mistakes. Only if we own up that we make mistakes. It's no good when we keep saying, no, I'm fine, I'm okay, I am right, here I am, no problem at all. But the heart is not settled. There is no peace. David said to God, create in me a new heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Somehow, the heart needs to be recreated, to reorganize, to refocus, in order for the steps to walk alongside the steps of God. He was working as a shepherd. And if we think about the character of a shepherd, to me, I think he's caring. He's courageous. His steadfast love, it's cold out there, thinking about ourselves if we are out in the field looking after the sheep. When I was down south, I took one or two people to a farm, and they're there to milk cows, and they started run about 3 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes they milk twice a day, and it's hard working for those guys. And as I see them, one Sunday I went around to see them, I said, how is it going for you? They said, it's hard. I'm talking about not Kiwi boys. This is island boys who were born under the coconut tree in the islands with hot weather. To put them down south, it is hard. I only know them with their courageous and endurance. But the character of the shepherd today, we're talking about David. He was caring. He wrote in his Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside white waters. David understands God as a shepherd. His role himself, he experienced when he went through that type of work. It's just like God's caring for his people. He leads me beside quiet waters. See how care the shepherd is for the sheep. find the quiet waters for them to walk beside, and if they want to drink, they can drink, because otherwise the water flow really hard, they can take the sheep away. He prepared a place before me. No wonder why God has seen his heart. The caring, the commitment, the love, the endurance, it's all there. The character for one to lead. The shepherd gave his or her lives for the life of the sheep. If we think about the insignificance of a young man, his brothers are older, they're experienced, they're stronger, they're big, they know what's happening around them. But God said, wait a minute, Samuel. The Lord looks on the heart. The heart that yearning to listen to God and open to God, to dialogue and walk with God, that's the one that I want to be, to choose to be the leader. It's just like the mustard seed. And I would like to say, if the life is like the mustard seed, insignificant, so small, but God can make a tree out of it for the birds to shelter in the shades. Have we come across in our lives any time that we felt insignificant? Or we hear people saying to us, we are not good enough? Today we remember the disability. It's a disability Sunday. Sometimes I hear those who were talking about caring for those disability people to make sure that we have the ramp, that we have this and that, to make sure that we care for them. But God cares for us all, regardless of our inability and ability, only if we allow God to walk with us. The gospel talks about the heart. Where the heart is right or wrong is said like this in Luke. For where your treasure is, there where your heart is. The question is, for Saul, where the treasure is? Is the treasure is his fame, his status, and his wealth? That's where his heart were. But for David, as he goes through life, falling down and getting up, he remembers that God is where his heart is. If God is our treasure, our heart is right. And everything else is there for us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything will be given to us. Where our heart is, where David's heart is, it's rich and abundance. It's flowing with joy and peace and love. It's like waters flowing, a spring of water that flows within, created in the heart to be able to open to God. And there we can be open to one another. 10 a.m., if we find it hard in our journey, to open to one another. The question is, how can we open to God? If our heart is closed to some of us and open to some of us, there's going to be a big question of our hearts open to God. Regardless of our ability, regardless of our struggle, regardless of our feelings, if we feel that we are a mustard seed, none important, in God's hand, we can be chosen because our heart is right with God, then everything else is right. Let us give thanks to God for giving us the heart of love, of peace, of joy. Amen.